You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Have you been following this LLB Twitter tour? Well, chance now for us to hear from both sides. Not only the Attorney Alliance, which attorneys raise serious questions about, one of them being Isaac Mosalana. He joins us now. We'll hear from Attorney Alliance in a moment or so. But Isaac, let's paint the picture here, right? There was an organization that appeared out of nowhere called Attorney Alliance that was not only claiming to give expert legal advice, but also claiming that it was going to serve people through their DMs, sue people through their DMs. And you did a little bit of digging as an attorney and specifically wanted to find out who's behind Attorney Alliance and how can they serve via social media if they don't necessarily have a person in their organization that has a valid fidelity fund certificate per se. Paint the picture for us, Isaac. What tweaked your interest at first, and how did you decide to take it on as an attorney? I mean, surely you have enough on your hands with trying to get billable hours.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much for having me on your show. So I was quite interested. Two things that piqued me, actually, is the fact that all of a sudden the profession was a joke. Everybody else was just toying around with the noble profession, and I was very much concerned. But also, as you have stated, the people got served with letters, not just DMs, but actual letters of demand asking them to retract and apologize and everything. And I looked at the letterheads, they looked a bit peculiar, and therefore I said, let me not just jump the gun. Let me find out what is happening. I did some kimefaki evidence to find out about the company and who are the directors. I tried to search the directors on the Legal Practice Council website, list of legal practitioners, and I did not find them. But that's not conclusive because there are still people whose details are still updated on a regular basis. So I said, I made a tweet and I said, based on kimefaki evidence right now, this is what I know about this company called itself Attorneys Alliance. You must understand that they call themselves Attorneys Alliance. If we are going to use the direct literal translation, it says that people who are attorneys are in alliance. And that piqued my interest. And I wanted to find out the nature and how what is happening. And so I called them on Twitter because this is where they were operating. Because I know a lot of people are saying, why didn't you just send them a private email? But they haven't been acting out privately. They've come out to some gray areas of touting, basically things which are questionable ethically within the profession, publicly. Therefore, I believe the public forum is where they ought to explain to people what is happening. So I went out. I did my research. I was told that Kaya Gaza is a shareholder. And I said, okay, if he's a shareholder, it means he's the owner, because directors are not necessarily owners of a company, shareholders are. So I tagged him, I tagged the account itself, and I said, kindly provide me with the necessary information. I just want to make people understand something. Even if you're not a law firm, you're a company operating, sort of giving people pseudo legal services, you ought to have somebody under you that has a Fidelity Fund certificate. It doesn't matter whether you're a legal consultancy. It doesn't matter whether you are this well-known insurance firm. They have people inside with Fidelity Fund certificates. And those people are the ones that brief attorneys to do extra work. So I said to them, yeah.
No, carry on. Finish here. I do have a question for you, though.
Yeah, so I said to them, provide me with Fidelity Fund certificates of the directors or any other attorney that you guys are working under who has a Fidelity Fund certificate. A lot of people don't understand that the Fidelity Fund certificate is what makes legal practitioners access the public. Without that, you cannot charge fees. It's there in the Legal Practice Act. It's there in the Old Attorneys Act. Without that, you cannot represent another person. Yes, myself, even if I was a layperson, I can write a legal letter of demand for myself, it's fine. But I cannot do it for another person because that Fidelity Fund certificate, amongst others, gives you an indemnity so that you as a legal practitioner you must not be directly be held liable. Like, for instance, if a client loses a case, unless there are exceptional circumstances for that. But under general rule, the fidelity certificate gives you things like indemnity. So I wanted to find out. So I asked them on a tweet, kindly provide me all these information because it is my ethical duty as a legal practitioner. We do that to each other all the time in court. Whenever we feel that an authority needs to be questioned, we do that. And so I said, right here where you are portraying yourself to be this particular body doing this particular service, kindly provide me with authority that you are indeed allowed to do that. And then after a while, when I was writing that thread and I said, I have to give them a time frame. And it has to be today because this thing has 2 days to finish. We have to finish this in 2 days. So I give them a time frame. They didn't respond to me up until I think about 7:02, where they said I must give them my email. And then I sent them my email thinking, well, they'll provide me with the information. I was expecting them to DM me because the Fidelity Fund certificate, your right of appearance, you can easily just take a picture of them and send them as a DM. So they said email. I said, oh, maybe they've got a lot of documents they want to send me. I was actually quite hopeful. But then I received a cease and desist letter from another attorney.
So, Isaac, can we both agree that to the layman, the legal profession is a bit of a puzzle, right? Not only is it very, very easy to bamboozle the common person in the street with legalese, but it also costs money, right? So to me, at least, anything that purports to be an easy way to access legal advice, access legal services, is going to be popular, right?
It's also ethically problematic and ethically wrong. It goes around the boundaries of touting, which is illegal in our profession. You've never seen a law firm in your entire life that says we offer you the best services for less cost. You've never seen any advertisement that uses superlatives. You've never in your entire life. It has never happened. And when we see it, it looks like a mystery. Therefore, I have to question as to why, under what authority are you doing this? Is the legal practice council aware? Is this even allowed? Maybe they've changed the rules, you know, ever okay. since I've been a practitioner.
Isaac, my learned friend, I'm going to bring in Nicole Van Loo, who is a legal consultant at the Attorney Alliance. Isaac, if you'll just give her some space here to maybe rebut what you've put out there. And Nicole, welcome to the Clement Magnotela show. Maybe start out by asking, what exactly is Attorney Alliance?
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead, Nicole. Hi. You're live to the air. Thanks very much for joining us. You're a legal consultant at Attorney Alliance. What exactly is Attorney Alliance?
Yes. So to put it straight, Attorney Alliance is a legal consultancy service to the public. It's a business that you know operates under the normal norms of commercial business, and we provide basic legal tasks such as preliminary advice and pre-litigation work that's done for our clients at agreed rates, and all of the above would be done on a non-litigious basis and a non-litigious service. Should the need arise, then a suitably qualified legal practitioner is instructed by the consultant to handle the matter further. This then would include litigious matters which may only be handled by the legal practitioner in terms of the LPA. Aside from the fee model, our services offered is not dissimilar to services that are offered by other legal consultancies. And just to clarify the air regarding whether we are unethical and we are wrong. I mean, we are legal consultants, and we do have panels of attorneys that are under, our consultancy, which we do refer our work to when matters do reach that litigious stage. Now, arguably, there may have been some puzzling and confusion between, the name of the company and the fact that it's registered under the CIPC, and we're not a law firm, but It is very clear on our website that we are an online legal consultancy and we provide guidance and legal support to those who otherwise would not have been able to afford the service at an extremely, affordable rate. For example, right now our rates, for 15 minutes it would be 150 Rand and we can easily consult on a debt collection matter in that. And it doesn't require, hours of work. And when it does get to that stage and the client says, okay, I would like to go through the procedure, we then refer that client to one of our best-suited attorneys on the panel. So the main argument on Twitter was, number one, we are a fake legal practice, which we had never disclosed us as being a legal practice. We are a legal consultancy, and we are a service offering and we operate a business.
So, Nicole, let me just ask you then, if you are a legal consultancy, why were you doing the stuff that Isaac says you were doing, serving people online and threatening to sue them and that type of thing? If you're just a legal consultancy, why are you acting like a legal firm?
Okay, so acting like a legal firm, that we can take, full accountability for the way that in which our letters were structured. We undertook that and we apologized and we retracted all of those letters that were served on social media and the ones that, that were served on DMs that Isaac has since had sight of. And our position is that, anyone can issue their own letters of demand. You'll find that many companies issue their own to save costs. And there may have been a confusion between the particular wording that we use. And we're trying, and we actually are working to fix that, and we've sought the relevant counsel to assist us there. Now, with that being said, we are, relatively new. We are open to learning. We are a small business just trying to build with a service offering. And, of course,
Nicole,
this is where let me ask you
a question quickly here. How much of this is you actually genuinely learning and not thinking that you would cause this tour, and you also possibly creating a bit of furore because here you are on the radio talking about it and you were trending on Twitter yesterday, and there's no such thing as bad media, right? Who does your marketing, eh?
Well, we're taking this as a learning experience. So we all equally, exchange ideas on how we would advertise and market. Now, I know we've placed ourselves in a situation where we've sort of gone borderline to the profession and we should have been able to rectify that divide. This is honestly just a learning experience for us and for everybody, in the company. And it's not about the media. We did not intend on, diverting it this way, but we also just want to use this as an opportunity to clear our name and what it is exactly we do and how we can actually serve people.
Nicole, hold on the line there. I'm going to bring back Isaac into this. Isaac, what's your response there?
So, If you had looked at the apology, it is important that they vehemently and unambiguously tell people that, listen, we made a mistake or we did something wrong. Maybe we were not aware. It needs to be clear, because if it's always like a subtle undertone apology, people will always think that this is some sort of a marketing campaign. The apology and the awareness that you did something wrong needs to be so clear to people that people understand that you know you did something wrong, right? And I understand when people say they didn't feel that a lot, especially if people like Kaya, who came out and said they're shareholders, don't come out themselves and say, listen, as a shareholder, as I came out to you and told you how good this is and then advertised it as a law firm, and I'm saying he did that because there's an article that he posted in his tweet that says a law firm which is accessible to all. You're supposed to come out, even himself, and say, listen, I am sorry. This is a learning curve. The same things that are spoken by Nicole right now, these are the things that everybody who came out in public and gave a representation that they're a law firm, who are currently now acknowledging that they're not, needs to come out and say, well, we didn't know. we're learning, we're sorry. We're sorry to the people that we have harmed. You must understand that the everyday people are trying to undercut the legal profession. And when something goes bad, it's always especially black legal practitioners that gets the end of the stick. And it's not fair. And that is why we're trying by all means to protect it. But I'm just saying, in summary, in reply to what Nicole is saying.
Now, Isaac, we need to give Nicole a chance to rebut there. I mean, Nicole, do you think that that's justified? Do you think that, you know, in hindsight, you could have done things vastly differently?
Yes, tremendously differently. If I could have another chance to do this, I would do it very differently.
All right. Well, Nicole Finlow, thank you very much for joining us from Attorney Alliance alongside Isaac Mosalana. He's a practicing attorney in Polokwane.